The views and opinions expressed by any hosts or guests of WJMS Radio do not reflect the beliefs of its owners or associates. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to WJMS Radio or the show hosts whose words, advice, and or opinions appear from or on our website or on air.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Are we on the air?
You're listening to WJMSradio.com.
Jam.
This chick is a sick individual.
You're tuned in to Sound Off with your girl Jams right here on WJMSradio.com.
There is no competition.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Sound Off right here on WJMS Radio. This is your girl, Jam. So excited to be with you guys today. It's been a while since I've been live, so I'm really, really happy to be live, and I'm joined by some truly powerful people today. Before we get into it, a couple of announcements, of course. For those folks that are listening, you can join our conversation on Get Vocal. You can just check for the room. We should pop up right on the main page there. You can also stream this live on WJMSradio.com. And I'm also live on Facebook and YouTube, so I'm kind of all over the place right now. So there's no reason for you to not be tuning in. The opportunity to watch, you should be able to get on there somewhere. I am joined today by who is the owner, and also Shannon Griffin, who is the owner of Survive and Thrive. And we're going to be having a really powerful conversation today about cancer. All of us have been touched by or affected by cancer in one way, shape, or another. And we're going to just kind of talk about our stories, what we've been through, what we've gone through, where we are with it, and just some of the things that are going on currently. So I'm not going to be the first to go, of course. I will let one of you go first. So which one of you wants to sort of hop in and share your story first?
Well, we can. I thought I'd just it's good to be able to support some multitasking here. I'm sharing a link at the same time. So I'm doing some link sharing. But as I say, it's good to. I'll do it in a second. I think it'd be good to. As it be, good thing is we're having a crossover sort of kind of podcast show with WJMS, Jamie Jams. The thing that we do have is cancer. Cancer can affect many people in many ways, and I've lost my mother to cancer, and Shannon is a survivor of cancer, but also has lost a close friend while she was going through cancer. And also Jamie, who you'd never, by looking at her, is actually going through it. Is kept together by keeping the pharmacy business in business, not through choice, but is going through it by looking at it, you wouldn't think. So we've got three different scenarios, and we're here just to talk about it. With me, tomorrow is my 11-year anniversary of the passing of my mum, and there's many other people who have gone through it, and it's good to have the different perspectives. And so basically, this is for those who are watching, we are, as I say, with Jamie said, we're on WJMS, we're live. It's going to be on, let's be able to listen to on the Ramsey Unleashed podcast and supporting what Shannon does with Survive and Thrive and her upcoming event in Texas this year. She's done recently California, and she's going on tour, so she's going to get herself on a plane. So there we go. I'll let you guys carry on. I'll do some sharing on Facebook while you guys can carry on chat while I'm multitasking badly. Can you tell I'm not female?
Sure. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and kind of tell your story a little bit?
All right. Hello, everybody. I am Shannon, and my one company is For Humanity. So we design T-shirts, but socially conscious T-shirts, but also being the founder of Survive and Thrive, which came by way of experience and dealing and battling with cancer myself. So and I definitely thank Jamie for having me here, and Fraser, of course, Fix Your Face. So we definitely appreciate being here and being able to share, especially to give a little more information about Survive and Thrive. So it started back in 2015, where I was diagnosed, where I found the lump. So, you know, just one day, it was during the time of, in November. So, of course, we know that breast cancer usually comes in, it's celebrated in October, or they talk about it and bring awareness in October. But my awareness came in November. So prior to finding the lump, I was sitting and minding my own business. Now, of course, knowing that when you turn 40, by 40, you are, back then they had you go and do mammograms every year. because around that time is when the time they figure that most women would be diagnosed with breast cancer for them to check. So what I did, I was doing my regular mammogram. So I usually would do them around October or so. So I did them in October, had it in October. And then time went on. And then by November, within the next year, that's when I discovered it. I discovered it, you know, right there. And it was around that time I should have been going and getting my mammogram. So I'm sitting, doing some graphics, rub my arms like this because it was really cold here in Northern California. And then just collapsed my hands and my thumb happened to touch, braze my left breast. And I felt a lump and I felt it just with the tip of my finger. And I was like, what is that? And so I just kind of sat back in my chair and said, you know, went and put my hand over my heart area and there I felt it. So it was right at the surface. So my awareness came in November of 2015, diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer and in situ and all that technical stuff. But basically it was locked in my milk duct. So it was right there. Didn't go nowhere, didn't spread nowhere. So it was very capsulated and right there. So my whole discovery and journey started in 2015, where definitely my life, you know, kind of changed a little bit for me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think knowing somebody in your life has had cancer, and I mean, for me, the steps of from when mum had it, and when she got it, it was quick. Now, there's obviously there's different styles of cancer. It was around about May when she was on holiday with my sister, and she started developing a cough, and just literally within the space of 4 months, it kind of the deterioration happened very quickly, and she had it in her windpipe. Just so it was, I mean, we had, I mean, going through the process with cancer, it can give up so many different symptoms. It might be chronic pulmonary disease. It could be anything. You can give up so many different things, but not thinking it's cancer. But sometimes it can be the misdiagnosis, and it can be too late, which is not good. So knowing that what my mum went through in the process, and how ill she got, and the way it went, she went to hospital, was really it was horrible. And really just what. So the experience of knowing that and knowing is at the time is really hard. And you'll know this yourself, Shannon, from being on an aspect of actually surviving from it, but your friend that you also went through it with, who sadly lost, which was kind of been easy as well. And I know she was a great touch, a heart close to you with all the stuff that you, hence you've got Survive and Thrive and your passion to share your message. But also, Jamie, I mean, having total aspect that you're looking at, you look at the picture of health, but you're going through, and I mean, this, you're going through it. And
I mean, it's most folks at this point kind of know my story, but for the folks that don't, out of the blue, like you said in the beginning of the show, you wouldn't know it to look at me. Typically, you wouldn't know it to be around me or to even deal with me, because I honestly just keep it moving and I don't let it slow me down. And sometimes it does, of course, I have to be realistic. But my diagnosis came December of 2018. So I'm about, 8 months, almost 9 months into my story here. And it came out of the blue. It started off with what I thought was, just a cough. Just a random cough that, kind of wasn't really going away, but it kept showing up, when I was going to sleep at night and when I was going upstairs and things like that, like this cough that just kind of stayed persistent. I even got a cold, and then I attributed it to the cold, and the cold went away, but the cough stayed. And, it was just bronchitis, because that's a typical key indicator of bronchitis is when you have a cold, but the cough stays. So I figured it was something like that. So I had gone to the doctor and let them know what was going on. And she was like, the doctor was like, it's probably allergies or asthma. And they gave me an inhaler and kind of, sent me on my way. And that was basically the story with it for a while. So I was like, all right, I came back in 2 weeks and I'm like letting the guy know, this inhaler isn't working for me. You know, it's not working for me at all. And, you know, he was like, okay, I'm going to write you a prescription for a cough suppressant. So I took that cough suppressant for a little while, which really wasn't a good thing because the cough was letting me know something was wrong.
Right.
And I took the cough suppressant. Still, it wasn't helping. Then I started getting shortness of breath, and it started getting worse and worse. I started getting winded going up the subway steps. I started having issues working out. All of this started centering and happening around the same time that I got really deep into kickboxing. So I started thinking that maybe it had something to do with my workout because I had never been like a really gung-ho workout type person. And at that point, I was like really working out hard. Like I was like in kickboxing, you know, a couple times a week, and it's a stressful, high-intensity workout. And I was thinking that maybe these symptoms were related to that. So a lot of it, you know, was just me not reading the signs too. But it was one of those things where, you know, I started realizing something was really wrong when I got on the treadmill to run like a regular mile, you know, and I always tell people I'm not in the greatest of shape, but I know I could get on a treadmill and run a mile and be fine. And I got on the treadmill the one day and I couldn't even get past a quarter of a mile before I was like, I got to stop because I'm not breathing. And it wasn't one of those things where it's like, no, you know, you're going to get your runner's high. Just keep going and the adrenaline will kick in. It was one of those things where it's like, no, I'm really not getting oxygen. And so I had to stop and I was like, okay, something is really wrong. And, you know, from friends and my fiance at the time, he was like, you know, you need to get a second opinion. And I was like, all right. So I finally scheduled that opinion, a second opinion appointment, at a totally different facility with a totally different set of doctors. First thing that doctor did was send me for an X-ray. And I went up for the X-ray, came back downstairs. I'll never forget the look on this man's face when I walked back in his office and he was like, are you feeling okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm all right. I mean, I'm tired, but I'm okay. And he's like, your left lung is covered entirely in fluid. And I was just like, what? And he showed me the X-ray and you could see like one lung totally fine, perfectly okay. And the other lung, it was like there was nothing there. It was totally white. And he was like, I need to admit you to the hospital right now. You know, like this is serious. And I was just like, okay, whoa, like let's hold on a minute. I have some things that are really happening right now and I'm not ready to be admitted to the hospital. Like I have a station event that was coming up and my fiance was shipping out to Korea for the army and my cat was in the hospital. And I was just like, okay, whatever this is, I needed to wait like 3 more days. And so I, you know, ends at the house and in my life and make sure I was okay. And then on Monday I went into the hospital and yeah, I was in the hospital for 6 days and they put a chest tube in, drained 2.5 liters of fluid off my lungs and came back at the end of the stay and told me that the fluid was malignant and it tested positive for cancer. And it came back and told me that I had stage 4 lung cancer. For me, as a 32-year-old non-smoker, totally healthy with no history of cancer in my family whatsoever or anything like that, I mean, I'm still to this day just confused. And the doctors don't know where it came from. They don't know why it happened, which is really annoying because it's kind of like I don't know what to blame. You know, like all I can do is assume or think something random happened or this happened or whatever. But really, you know, it came out of the blue and it's been a roller coaster ride ever since. But yeah, I've been kind of just, I don't even know what I've been doing. I've just been living my life, to be honest with you. I've been trying to get back to the things that I like to do. I had a lot, I'm giving you guys a very clip-noted version of this story about that went on between in these last 9 months. But I say all that to say that I've sort of become like this public face of lung cancer in a weird way. And I wasn't okay with it at first. I didn't even want to tell anybody about it at first. And then I just realized that I have an entire radio station and a platform. And as I was telling the people who are in my life and are in that tight circle that I text and stuff like that, they were like, you know, this happened, blah, blah, blah. And it was just a lot of misconception about lung cancer and how it works and who it happens to. And I'm just like, no, I don't smoke, but I do have lungs because that's really all you need for lung cancer. And I think it was at that point after having a conversation with another person on my show, and just dealing with all the misconception that I realized that I need to speak about this. I have to tell people about this because, you know, it's just, people don't know, you know, like there are different branches of lung cancer and lung cancer for a long time has been a smoker's disease. You know, people assume if you smoke cigarettes, you're going to get lung cancer. And if you don't smoke cigarettes, you're good. But that's not how it works and that's not how it is. And I've been slowly educating people around me and, you know, people in my life to get tested for things, ask questions, push for the extra testing just to make sure, because if it can happen to me, it can literally happen to anybody. And I've been kind of the face of lung cancer, and I've been working with the Lung Cancer Research Foundation and stuff like that to try and bring more awareness and to tell my story, because there are a lot of people like me and people don't know it. You know, that's the one thing that threw me off, is realizing that I'm not the only one that this has happened to. There's people with stories similar to mine with worse experiences. So I say all that to say that I'm grateful for where I am. I'm grateful for the walk that I'm on, and that where I am right now. And I'm just taking it, you know, one day at a time, and, you know, trying to make meaningful change in my life where I can and with the people that I can. So that's kind of my long winded story of how I came to be, in the cancer club, if you will.
I mean, so. It's pretty interesting that before I was going to ask another question, but do you want to shout out to you? Obviously, WGMS must have supporters and sponsors. Do you want to do a shout out to these guys, or?
You know what? We don't have any sponsors right this moment, but
okay.
I am open.
Right. Well, you could. I don't know. I didn't really know that, so I asked the question. But at least you tell me. But you can shout out to people who, let's say, support you.
Tons of supporters. I have tons of supporters. Okay. I want to shout out all of the hosts on my station, who host shows with the radio station, who believe in the vision of WJMS. For all the people that don't host shows but support the vision and understand what I'm trying to do, and they've been with me from day one, and they've been on this roller coaster ride. I appreciate all of you guys. You all know who you are, because I thank you regularly for what you do. My crew of interns that help out as well. We don't have sponsorship just yet. Again, I'm open and we can do some discussion for sure. So for those people listening, please pass this on to the powers that be, because I am really trying to change the world and educate and bring empowerment to people. So any help I can get in that fight is awesome.
Shannon, I'm grateful for Shannon, because she's one of my supporters on my podcast, for Humanities, because she designed my Ramsey Unleashed Going Beyond Borders logo and my t-shirt. So she's the one that did, she does, obviously Shannon does t-shirts as well, but I'll let Shannon tell you about what else she does. I wanted to just, before she goes, but I'm going to shout out to the people who support my show. Is people like Ife Alitham, and she is kingdomreads.com, but she's changing it to Frame Your Day. She's now got an app. We're getting a new jingle done for that. So we've got Zakia Ringle, who does Natural Soap by Zakia. People who did my website is Drummond. I've got Brent Mann from BrentmannMusic.com. I've got EileenSmith.com. I've got lots of people, which you'll see in the show notes when this goes out as my podcast on my show, as well as it's currently going out at WJMS Radio. You can be able to watch the replay on Facebook. We are doing a video conversation. We are mainly talking about cancer. We're talking from three different perspectives of losing, surviving, and currently going through. And cancer can come in many different forms and can strike at any time when we least expect it. And we're obviously discussing that. And it's something that needs to be talked about in general. We want to know how we can support things that are going on out there regarding cancer. Whether it's events or people who are going through emotionally, and people who obviously from loss, who are remembering people on anniversaries and how close they were to people. And I don't even doubt what Jamie is going through, even though she looks a picture of health, but I'm sure that there'll be the psychological aspects of just not knowing during going through day to day. And we're just grateful that she's here and she's still got life and breath in her lungs, and that's what we're just grateful for. But that is what I say, shout out to everybody. Cancer is an emotional topic to talk about. It can be in many ways, and it's not easy. And I'm feeling emotional because tomorrow is a year's anniversary for my mum, 11 years, and it's not, it's tough. It's tough on anybody. But let's, I want to also shout out to Benita Charles, who will be doing her usual stuff, and you'll hear messages from people. But Shannon, Talk a bit more about Survive and Thrive. Let's talk about Survive and Thrive. Yeah, let's do, both your aspects. I'm just asking a question for what is your psychological state, even though you seem quite positive and upbeat, but going through it, when you're going through more tablet medication rather than chemotherapy and things and radiotherapy. Shannon went through both radiotherapy and losing her hair and things. And I mean, what are you mentally, what are you going through when you're sort of, I know you feel good, upbeat, it's good to be upbeat, but behind the scenes in your head, you must be doing your head in. It must be just really playing on your mind a lot.
Well, for me, I started, of course, my journey started with a lumpectomy. So that's what I had to do first. So I went into surgery in December 7th of 2015. And then I started chemotherapy January, and that went till May. And then I started radiation in June, and then that went till August. So I went through the whole gamut of the treatments. And at the time when I first got the list, they give you a schedule of when your treatments are going to be. And they give you a schedule and they show you exactly what you're going to go through. And it was this long list. And I have my list. And I was like, you know, I'm a write, check off the list, A type personality subcon. So when I saw the list, I was like, wow, that's a long list. I got to check. And I'm like, look, I need to be checking these things off. So it was like, okay, eventually I was like, wow, that's a long list. Wow, I have to get through all of those lists. I saw them as lists. I did not see them as treatments. They were jobs that had to get done. And that's how my mindset works. And they were jobs that I had to get done. They were, you know, things, events of work that I had to do. And my mindset is always, you know, in a work mentality of understanding jobs, get things done, move them. Get things done, move them, shorten that list and get through it. And that's how I went into it. It was like, oh, okay, I got to do all these. I'm going to get through this list. And I'm going to be check, and it'll be done. And then at that point, it'll be over. And then I can go back to moving on with my life. And that's kind of like how I looked at it. Now, the day of when I first went, I have a picture of that. I posted all that stuff and showed you guys. And I'm sitting there with all my hair, and I'm sitting there with my little blue sweater on, and I'm sitting there with, you know, the IV. So I had to do mine intravenously, and I didn't do it with a port. God didn't tell me to do a port. I said, okay, here's my arm. Isn't this what you do? Let's do it. I'm right-handed. So when it was on my right hand, because of course my cancer was found on the left side. So got to do this side. So I'm sitting there with, this IV in my hand. You could see the picture with the little lady going over there to the little machine and getting it all organized to start pumping this poison into me. To realize the poison of knowing what it was like, okay, there's this stuff that's going to go inside and it's going to fight this cancer. But to know the severity of the poison, it's like, don't even look that stuff up. Because it's awful. It will kill you. It will kill you. The sheer alone of the stuff is killing you. The cancer is trying to kill you. The medicine is trying to kill. The cancer is trying to kill you too. So you got like triple negative. And I'm like triple negative. So I had triple negative going on. But my thought was, okay, this stuff is going to go in. It's going to flush itself out eventually. You know, and my mindset was just that, okay, stuff goes in, it's going out, and then I'm going to mind my own business. It never dawned onto the fact that I could drop dead like right now with this stuff in me. Now, your body goes through stuff. So to talk about what was really kind of going on, it was like, oh, I don't feel good. This stuff is in me. I got to go to the bathroom constantly all day long, going, getting up all dizzy and, you know, walking with my little thing going to the bathroom. And it's like, my mind every time was like thinking, well, how bad could this actually be? And I said, well, what could possibly happen? And I said, well, am I going to fall out in the bathroom and then somebody's going to come find me? I mean, you know, so you're thinking about what could happen, but it was like, well, it's not happening. So let's just move this party on and just get this over with. So it was always that. I mean, when it went into radiation, honestly, I was like, I can just jump up right now and run out of here. And I was like, okay, let me leave. But I was like, you know, no, I have a job to do. God said to get this moving, get this done. I'm going to get through it. And then we're going to talk about it. And we're going to tell everybody how they can too get through it. And it doesn't have to look as bad as we think it is. It's all on the mindset. But let's just get clear. We're not sitting here saying, and I'm not sitting here saying, oh, get your mind right and you're going to be good. No, everybody don't make it. Yeah. Everybody don't make it. But for those who do make it, the way you also help yourself make it is your mind. You got to keep yourself in line with keeping forward with what you're going to be doing and what you're calling, what your mission, what your goals are, because you can get, you can suffer from other things. Even if you don't pass out and fall over, you can suffer from some depression. You can have other types of anxieties. Other things could happen if you don't keep a positive mind about it. Because if you're thinking about the fact that you could die each day, that ain't good. And that's just not good. You don't want to have that, and you don't want to think that way. So the goal was, when I came live and I shared it, I'm a private person. I can keep my business to myself. That's how I was raised. You keep your stuff in the house. I didn't want to share. I didn't want y'all seeing my hair fall out. I mean, right now, my hair is coming back. And yeah, here it is, this little afro. I never wore my hair like this. I'm just saying, I'm just telling you what it is. My hair was always permed. It was always relaxed. I had it wrapped. I had it done. That's how I was. Yep. That's how I did it.
I got you.
So when I had to deal with the fact of knowing that I had to lose my hair, I was like, what? But I was like, if that what the calling was, and if that's what I needed to do, then that's what I'm going to do. And here it is. So I was live. I showed y'all, all my hair fell out, my eyebrows down, everything. And that's just what I had to go through. And I shared each day of it, because it's typically not shared. No one will share that. They keep it private. They won't even tell anybody. But that wasn't what the mission and the goal of what I had to do. So here it is. Afro and all.
Yeah. I think to answer that question as well for myself, you know, Fraser, it's how do I answer that question myself? I mean, okay. So what I tell people and how I'm doing this and how I'm getting this and how I'm functioning through all this is I go until I can't anymore. You know, I try not to let this take over my life. I try to tell myself, you don't have time for this. Like, you got a radio station to run. You got a full-time job. You got a wedding to plan. You have stuff to do. I don't have time for cancer. So what I do is I try to, you know, same thing that Shannon said, my mind stays positive. I try to filter out all the negative thoughts. I mean, of course, let's be realistic. We all have negative thoughts. You have that moment and that time where you're like, why me? What was me? You know, what am I doing? Oh my God, I have cancer. And that happens a lot for me. There are days, right? Like, I'm perfectly fine. Everything is good. And then all of a sudden I'm like, holy what have cancer? Like, what? You know what I mean? And it's like a reminder to myself that I have it. But what I do is I literally try to forget about it as much as I can. And I realize I'm sitting here as somebody who probably has been through quite a bit, yes, but not nearly as much as somebody like you, you know, Shannon, who you've gone through the chemo and the radiation, you've lost your hair. I haven't hit that segment yet. I haven't hit that patch of life yet. I'm still very new in this, and I'm praying I don't hit that. But I'm sitting here as somebody who has the option every now and then to forget that it happened and forget that it's here. So I literally run about my day without paying attention to it until I have to. You know, in the morning, I take my medicine and I keep it moving. If I'm tired, I sit down. You know, the thing that has changed the most for me is that I listen to my body a lot more. I listen to what my body's telling me. If I'm exhausted, then I don't go. You know, if I'm tired, I sit down. You know, if I need to take a breath, then I stop what I'm doing and I take a breath. You know, if I'm getting winded, then I allow myself to get winded and I allow myself to catch my breath and keep moving. But I don't stay in this mindset of like, you know, I have this, this is what's going on. I try to continue moving about, you know, and address it when I need to. But for the rest of the time, I let it kind of stay in the back of my mind. And I continue to just try to educate people. And to be honest, I get the, you're so strong, you're so brave comments from people all the time. And you're the strongest person I know comments from people all the time. And they're nice. They feel good. They make me feel great. But I don't always feel that way. You know, I don't always feel like, you know, I'm in the ring, you know, the ring with cancer. And I'm like, I got my gloves up and I'm fighting with it. Sometimes I feel like I'm just quietly going through this battle, you know, kind of maybe just blocking some stuff here and there and pushing some things off occasionally. I don't feel like I'm, you know, super strong and super brave. I feel like I'm doing what I got to do to keep going forward. But I say all that to say, if people take inspiration from my motivation to keep moving forward, from my mindset, from what I'm doing, from my, you know, ability to talk and educate people and to be in the front lines and really put my story. And like you said, Shannon, put my business out there, then that's great. And that's awesome. And that's, you know, for me, that's like, that's that kind of is like icing on the cake. You know, it's like I'm beating this thing slowly but surely, and I'm inspiring people along the way. that's good. You know, I'll take that. But like I said, I try not to live. I let myself feel the emotions. I don't hide from the emotions. I don't run from the emotions. I let myself feel the emotions and the sadness that comes with getting a diagnosis like this. And I let myself feel them, and then I move forward. It's like, okay, now what? Like, all right, cool. So what time is it? Because I know I got to go to kickboxing, or I know I got to go to work, or I got to do a show, you know, in 30 minutes. So I try to just, like I said, I just try to acknowledge it when I need to, and otherwise forget about it, you know, just when I can. And I am grateful that that is the walk that I can take, because there are people that I know who can't just forget that they have cancer. There are people who are constantly reminded all day long, every day, that this is their life. And I, like I said, am humbled, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed that that is not where I'm at right now in my journey. So I'm embracing that, and I'm appreciative of it.
Inspiration from my motivation for show, you know.
You buy it from the Facebook, huh?
Yeah, that's why. The best of you.
Yeah, we got your slight feedback. But that's, yeah, it can't, I mean, what's your, what can, are you still restricted in doing anything at all, Jamie?
No. So the funny thing is, and the part that I skipped out of my story is, when I got diagnosed, I went 30 days without any treatment. I took a month and I decided I wanted to freeze my eggs so that when the time comes, and because I'm 32, I don't have any children yet. I just got engaged and was looking forward to that part of life. And then I got smacked in the face with this. So the first thing I said to myself was, I want to have kids. And they told me that I can't get pregnant on this medication. And it wasn't really, you know, I couldn't bring a fetus to term, full term, with this medication coursing through my system. So I was like, all right, well, I do want to have kids. And that's a thing. It's a big thing for me. So I went through the process of freezing my eggs, taking the hormone injections, all that kind of crazy stuff. But for that 1 month, I didn't do anything. So the cancer was just kind of running through my body, having a field day. And I'm just like, I felt every bit of it for that month. And I was exhausted. And before I went under to get the eggs removed, I had another lung drain. So that was my second lung drain. And that one was a liter of fluid before I had to pull them and tell them to stop, because I couldn't, you know, handle it anymore. And then I had another drain after that, which was another liter. And I was continuously like I started the medication right after getting the eggs taken out, and it started working quick. Like for me, Alecensa and Alectinib is what I'm on, started working quick. I was having really bad back pain from tumors and things like that. Those started going away fast, but the fluid continued and I kept on getting fluid generation. And it got to the point where I couldn't keep going into the office to get lung drains, because it was just too much on my body and just on me. I was just like, I was down for the day. It was painful. You know, and it's just not a pleasant experience. So I ended up getting a catheter put in, and that's where my limitations really came in. So I got a catheter put into my left side, into my lung, so that I could have a nurse come to the house to drain my lung 3 times a week. And I had that for about 3 months. There was no bag or anything like that. It was just a one-way tube that she would come to the house, she a pressurized container, and she would open up the wheel and it would pull the fluid out. And it was fine. It didn't hurt. Like, it didn't hurt at all. Like, in comparison, I will say this, like, people are like, oh, you know, what was worse, the in-office lung drains or getting the catheter done? And I was just like, so that's like asking somebody, okay, I'm going to knock you out. Do you want me to do it by punching you in the face, or do you want me to kick you in the stomach? They both suck. They're not great. One is less painful than the other, of course, you know what I mean? But it's like, they both are pretty awful experiences. So the catheter was painful in a sense of, after it was done, it hurt, because it was like they had wiggled the tube around and it was sutured in 2 spots. So like they had wiggled around the stitches. So after I got my lung drained for like the first month, it felt like I had gotten a fresh catheter put in, and it was painful. But I didn't feel the drain. Getting the office procedure done was painful all the way through. And then I was down for about a day, but I didn't feel it afterwards, you know? So it was like, they both kind of sucked. But I had major limitations with the catheter. You know, I couldn't lift heavy things. I couldn't, you know, stretch too far. You know, it was under a waterproof dressing, but I still had to be careful with water and getting it wet and stuff like that. I had major limitations when I had my catheter in. And then my main goal, like Shannon said, she had list to check off. That's how she got through it. My goal was, I had booked a vacation with my fiance, and I hadn't seen him since the diagnosis. And I was going through this whole thing by myself. And the only thing pulling me through a lot of it was knowing that, like, in May, I get to see Frank, and we're going on vacation for 2.5 weeks. And I get to pretend like my life is fine for 2.5 weeks. And I get to get a hug and just be normal. So for me, that was my motivation. And then my motivation became get the catheter out, get the catheter out, get the catheter out. And as soon as I became able, I started going back to kickboxing again with the catheter in. And I was doing it. Like I was in kickboxing, punching and kicking and lifting and doing my thing in kickboxing, you know, within reason, of course, because you can't do too much crazy stuff or you're going to pull it out. But I was in kickboxing and I was determined that I was going to get this thing out because I started noticing a correlation between how much fluid would come out before I did a, like when I did a workout, because I would work out before getting the fluid draws on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I noticed that when I worked out beforehand, the fluid numbers were lower. And I needed to get those numbers to a certain threshold before they take the catheter out. So I was like, okay, when I work out, the numbers are lower. Know that the lower the numbers are, the faster I get the catheter out. So it became a thing. And I was like, all right, so my motivation is to get this catheter out. And that was like what I did. But that was the limitations that I had at the time. And now that the catheter is out, there's not really limitations to what I could do. There's limitations I put on myself for things I'm not sure of that I don't know if I can do yet. You know, when I was on vacation, for example, I didn't know how much my lungs could handle. So like there was an island that we were on and people were swimming to like this little rock, like a little rock or whatever. And you were swimming there and you stood on it and you took a picture and it was really cool. But it was a pretty significant swimming distance. Me before diagnosis, got it. No big deal. Let's swim. I can do it. Me after diagnosis, after lung catheter, after having fluid and all that kind of stuff, I didn't know. I was like, I don't know if my lungs can handle a swim like that. And I don't want to risk it because I'm like, you know, like I don't want to get in the middle of the water and be like, hey, I'm drowning. What's up? You know? So I was like, all right, there are certain limitations that I put on myself because I'm just not sure how much my body can handle yet. And I'm still learning that. But in terms of like daily life and stuff like that, I don't have limitations. I do. When I get winded, I just breathe. I stop and I breathe. But I go, like, I'm fine. I don't have limitations on what I can do right now. So
what stage of your can, even though it is it still stage four, or has it come down a bit, or is it still
there? There's no come down from stage four.
Okay, I wasn't. That's a question just for people who may not know.
So stage four cancer. The reason it's stage four is because people are like, why don't you just get the lung removed or get the whatever removed? And it's not that simple. I already asked that question.
Right.
The cancer that I have is a genetic form of cancer that generates fluid, and it's at the point where it generates fluid is sort of like the point of no return, because there's nothing they can cut out to stop it from doing that. Had I gotten this diagnosis earlier, there's a possibility that they may have been able to cut out the section of, you know, my body that was starting to mutate and create that. But because I'm past that point now and it's already generating fluid, I'm not a surgery candidate, which means that I'm not going to come down from stage four. It's terminal, but it's treatable and manageable. And that being said, though, here's the thing. There are people that are Ned with stage four cancer. So that's my goal now. That's my thing. So now my thing is to go Ned. And Ned, for those folks that don't know, means no evidence of disease, or technically remission. But doctors are very, very hesitant to use. People start to think like, I'm okay. Everything is fine. But it's not really the case. It just means that the cancer is dormant, but it's still there. So my goal now is to become Ned. Because on Ned, you just... it's the closest thing to not having cancer at stage four level that you can get. So that's kind of where it is. But yeah, I'm not going to be able, had I got to this earlier, is a possibility that I might have been able to cut out a section of my lung. I mean, to put it realistically, I had been working with one lung for about a year, or maybe a half a year, 6 months. So I could theoretically go without having a lung and be fine because I've done it. But it was past that point when they caught it. So that's not really an option for me. So right. Unfortunately, stage four is the stage four.
So it hasn't spread to any other parts, thankfully. No.
Not yet. So the other thing is, the other thing that I'm pushing is I'm doing the Free to Breathe walk in Brooklyn for the Lung Cancer Research Foundation. That's October 20th. And we're walking across the Brooklyn Bridge. And the reason I'm so gung-ho about raising money for this is because I'm on the latest and greatest medication for ALK-positive cancer, lung cancer. There's nothing for me to jump to. So I'm praying for a long, sustained run on alectinib because there's nothing better for me to jump to. There's only things that are like a little bit less as good than alectinib, you know. So I'm trying to really push money to the Research Foundation because scientists are trying to develop the next line of TKIs. They're trying to develop the next alectinib that's better than what I'm currently taking so that if something happens, and I have an appointment on September 19th which is my 3-month check-in to do MRI and CAT scan to see how my body's responding to the medication and to make sure there's no more progression. I get this every 3 months. And, you know, heaven forbid if I go in there and they say there's progression, I don't know what the next step is after that. So I'm praying for a long run on alectinib. And if that's not the case, then I'm praying for science to find the next line of medication that I can jump to from here so I can continue living. So that's why I push so hard for the lung cancer walk, is because like every bit of money you raise goes to them so they can continue doing their research and creating their next line of medication. And I want my next drug. Like, I want to know that there's like, I'm not standing on one leap pad and there's no other leap pad for me to jump to. I want to know that there's something, you know, if need be, because I am going to beat this, but I want to know that there's something down the line that I can jump to when that time does come. So that's one of the reasons.
Do you still have the risk of it? It's supposed to be anybody on medication that when we do take it, our body can become almost, it does the opposite, because it becomes like antibiotics, if you know what I mean, become immune to it. It doesn't work. They start not working. So is there a possibility that could happen as well?
Yeah, that's what would happen. So that's basically my prognosis. I'm on this medication until my body develops a tolerance to it, and then they move me to another medication. So that's why I said I'm hoping for a long run on this, because as long as the run is, as long as I don't have to change medications. And the way they find out if my body is still responding is through these 3-month appointments where they scan the body to see, has the cancer spread anywhere? You know, once it starts spreading, it's a bad thing. And lung cancer is one of the ones that spreads the easiest, unfortunately. So if you think about your lungs as the trees of your body, trees have leaves and branches and they extend to everything. So cancer tends to spread a lot faster with lung cancer. So like I said, hoping and praying for a long run on alectinib, but in the meantime, pushing for research money and dollars so that they can come out with the next line of medication so that there's something for me to jump through or jump to, you know, if this medication doesn't last too long. But I'm having great, I'm having really good, you know, progress on this medication. I feel fine. I look okay. Like I'm doing what I need to do. Everything seems to be going well. I have very minor side effects like fatigue and stuff like that, but like I am okay and I'm doing really well on this medication. So I'm praying that that is my story for a long time, a very long time.
It's fantastic news. Just that for those who are listening, we are live on WJMS Radio, Facebook, Get Vocal. We'll go out as Ramsey on this podcast. We've got three hosts. We've got Shannon Griffin from all the way from California. There's myself from Scotland. We've got Jamie Jams from New York. And we are all kind of talking cancer. Now, that's one thing about coming to wanting to support all your foundations and tablets. There's one thing that's Shannon Griffin is doing Survive and Thrive, and why did she set it up? It's done a few years in California. It's going to Texas, and also she's going to be going to New York as well. So there's a nice wee joint link up for next year, if not earlier. So Survive and Thrive. What is Survive and Thrive, Shannon?
Well, as we've been sharing again, thanks for having me, and I'm just loving your story, Jamie. And it's just that fight. And it's that fight that you don't sit and give up about anything, because it's not necessarily, you know, everyone's going out and fighting, but it's all about perseverance and, you know, and pushing through and knowing that there is no other alternative but to keep moving. You know, you're not going to stop. We're not rooted unless we're rooted in God, but we're not rooted. We have to keep moving. We are alive, so we keep living. So Survive and Thrive, of course, came from my diagnosis, but it really came from my friend, as we shared earlier, my friend Sharon, who had battled, she was diagnosed with colon cancer, and then she had surgery and chemo, and then it spread to her liver, and then surgery, and then chemo, and then, you know, it spread to her lungs, and in 2018 of April, she passed away. So, you know, thought it was doing pretty good. She'd been on some of every chemo ever. And then lastly, it was one that, you know, you go home and you just do chemo every day. So at one point, you know, the tumors were shrinking and they weren't growing, but then it just went and took over. But again, you know, she was a woman of God. So I was at peace with the fact that, you know, she was no longer here. But Survive and Thrive came from her, because when she first was diagnosed, I was supporting her and doing everything I could. And then here comes, 2015, here I come. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm dealing, with this thing. But it was something me and her came together about helping other survivors and helping them thrive and helping them get their life back and not just give up. She never gave up. She kept fighting and kept, trusting God and believing that, her cure or remission would come and she could continue to live life and not be doing chemo every day. So Survive and Thrive Cancer Recovery is about bringing survivors together and their families and helping them thrive, helping people get their life back in way of work or creating businesses or creating things that can help other people, products, services. But it's all about bringing information with speakers and about finances, about health, wealth, recovery. But it's really looking at it from a family point of view, because the family itself and the ones who support you are there, that's going to help you thrive and keep you moving. Like, you spoke on your fiance and just knowing that you could have some normalcy so you don't have to think about cancer. Yeah. You don't have to think about treatments. You don't have to think about what you had to do that day. You could just sit and laugh about funny stuff like TV and the dogs and the cats, just stuff, and laugh about stuff that you did. It was that one day that you don't have to worry about it. So we're taking it, as Frazier said, I did the first ones here in California, the first two. This time God said, take it on the road. So we are planning to do Texas, October 11th and 12th. Tickets are in Eventbrite, and go check us out. But 2020 is Baltimore and New York. So we're looking for folks who would love to help plan this event. So it's all cancers. Thank you. So it's all about just cancer in general, but it's not focusing on it. We're going to have information, but we're looking at, what can you do if you want to write a book, if you want to start a business, if you want to do something, how to get your life back, exercising, maybe that's your thing. You're going to be doing exercises and helping others who think that they can't exercise no more, that they can't do anything. And it's about lifting them up and getting them off their butts. And let's go, because we all have limited days. We all have a day when the day comes. But my thing is that I'm not going to sit here and count them. I'm about to go live them. I'm going to live those days. I'm not going to live them. I'm not going to, just count them. I want to live them. And I want other people to live their days too, because we all have a limited number of days we're being here, regardless if you're a cancer survivor or you battling cancer or not. So my goal is how to help people get their life back and live. So Survive and Thrive is all about that. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. We're still planning and getting things done for 2019, but 2020 is now, and we're planning and getting people who are in the area to be able to support and be able to promote this event. So I'm thinking it's going to be great. I'm going to have fun.
Please.
So Survive and Thrive. That's the t-shirt. Survive and Thrive. Okay. Survive and Thrive.
Mom, I'm on board. Just give me the details. I'm with you.
Thank you.
For sure.
Yes. Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So Frazier, what about you? I feel like, Shannon and I have been doing a lot of the talking, but tomorrow's your anniversary for your mother's passing. Right. So are you doing something special for tomorrow? Is there a tradition or routine you do to keep her memory alive?
Well, just tend to go to, just go buy some flowers and go up to the cemetery and tidy up the grave, this gravestone, clean it up and things. I spoke to one of my sisters about two. I went and buy some flowers, but we'll go to the garden center and buy some new plants or something and just tidy up a bit, because and kind of the colors. So I'll nip to the garden center tomorrow and then nip up and just tidy up a bit and things. It's tough talking about it.
Take a minute. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So while he's composing himself, I'm going to take this moment to shout out my team, the people around me that keep me going, to my, obviously to Frank, but to my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother, my mother-in-law, my best friend, my favorite cousin, you know, all the people at my job who, you know, do their best to make sure that I'm supported, all the people that just in general check in on me. They're like, how are you doing? You know, like, I'm good. You know, to all those people that just take time out of their day to check on me. You know, I appreciate you guys, and I'm really grateful and thankful. I have some of the best supportive, most supportive people in the world in my corner, and I could not be happier. So I love you guys, and I appreciate you.
The burnout. Yeah, I think for me, I just go up to the grave. I'm just, yeah. I maybe don't go up as much as I should, but this is an ocean. Yeah.
You know what? That's enough, because she knows you're there. She could feel your presence there. And the fact that you go and you spend time there, that alone brings you closer to her every single time. You know, so whether you make it there one time a year or a million times a year, she knows you're there and she's with you regardless of where you are, you know.
One of the things that she said to me when she was in hospital was, which I always remember, and she said, it'll be all right, son. And that, yeah, it has been, it's been tough, but through 10 years, 11 years of hard graft, 10 years of building up, I know, yeah, things will be all right. And I think to be able to support people who have been through cancer and are going through it and just whatever is, yeah, let's make magic happen and make support people. It's difficult, it's hard. It gets easier, time goes by, it does get easier, but you never forget them, and time is a healer. And you go through the days. I mean, I go through pockets of times of the year that I'll be fine, but then suddenly you just take a massive emotional dip and you can't cheer yourself up for love nor money, because you're just like, it just hits you. It's a time of year for me. It was just that those few months of it was a Monday the 1st of 2008, my mum, of September, and I think next year, as long as it's not a leap year or anything, it'll be a Monday, it'll hit on the Monday. But knowing that the time that she, those sort of 10 days that she went into hospital on a Friday, and that week of progress back and forward to hospital, and then on the Monday morning, I had to get to the hospital quick, that she'd gone. So, and knowing that, it was just, it's that period leading up psychologically, it doesn't quite leave you in your head of knowing that you've lost. And what you do in life, you have to either sink or swim, and it's difficult. You either get on with life. I could have buried my head in the sand, and a lot of people do, because it's difficult. Or you have to sort of say, you have to get up, and you've got to survive. You've got to survive and thrive. Basically, if you don't survive, you're not gonna thrive at all. And some days you just got to say, well, I've got to do this. I've got to get up and do it. Because if I don't, nobody's gonna do it for me. And I got basically just, well, started, what can I do? I was doing removals, like moving people from home to home before, and it was sort of part funded by the time with my mother. But basically, end of the day, what can I do? I had to start my life again. So I decided to go into cleaning and develop a cleaning business. Hence, I'm now 10 years down the line. And that's what I did, because it was what I could do. I'd done it in the hospital, I cleaned in the hospital. So what's the easiest way to do it? And that's basically what I did. And then 10 years running a business, and I survive. And I'm keen to, through rebranding and developing, I want to be able to help others to survive and support and grow in some way or form. And I've been busy over the summer, and I've got this community of people, which I love, but I've been kind of busy, and work takes you away. And the whole point is just seeing people grow. And I think over the last year, since this kind of community on Facebook, that I've kind of messenger group, I've seen people have grown through just what they're doing. And that's what is good, whether, and supporting people who've got cancer and talking about cancer is what's important. And I think we need to continue to support people who are going through or have a loss through going forward, basically.
It's funny, actually. I remember I had a conversation with you, Fraser. We had our first initial conversation, and then I think we connected a little bit further, and you realized that I was battling lung cancer, and you're like, do you have cancer? And I was like, yeah, no. And you were just like totally shocked and like, you're doing all of this with that? And I'm like, yeah, you know, but I want to real quick speak about the power of positive thinking. You know, I read about a scientific study. I'm not going to bore you guys with details on scientific studies, but, you know, it's any scientific study really where you look at, you know, control groups, where you look at somebody, a group of people that are taking a medication and a group of people that are given a placebo. And you tell the both groups of people that they're both on the medication and to track how they feel or to track their symptoms or to track whatever. And by and large, you find sometimes that the group of people with the placebo pills do better than the people on the medication because it's the power of their mind. When you believe something and when you really truly believe something is happening or something is going to happen, you know, and you put that energy and stuff out into the universe, a lot of times it can affect and change the outcome. You know, so for me, and the positive thinking and just staying positive and not living in a place of negative thoughts, like, yes, feel your emotions, like allow yourself to feel the emotions, but don't live there. You know, keep moving forward, keep doing different things, keep your mind busy and stuff like that, and keep thinking positively. You know, you'll be the exception to the rule. It's not going to be your case. It's not going to be your story. You're doing things differently. Times of change. Things like that are all motivating and they're all helpful. And for me, it's just, you know, realizing like this isn't the end of my story. Like, this is no way. I have so much going on and so much to do and so much left to take care of. There's no way that God's pulling me off the earth just yet. You know, there's so much more that I think he wants me to do. And knowing that and keeping that power of positive thinking in my head, for me, placebo or not, I think it's working. So, you know, I say all that to say, just keep moving forward and keep thinking that things are going to change and keep that positive frame of mind, because it means a lot in terms of health, of healing and healthiness. So, but. And I think we are about to wrap up the show here. So I want to give you guys the opportunity for closing thoughts. You know, where can people find you, follow you? Again, I see you sharing the link, Shannon, in the chat for your event. Please share it in here, too, and get vocal because we got folks looking. Shannon, why don't you go first? Give everybody your contact information, your final closing thoughts, you know, where you are today with things and you know, where folks can find you and follow you.
Again, thank you guys for sharing your Saturday time with me. My Saturdays are usually like really doing all kinds of stuff. So to settle and get this time zone, it was great for me. But again, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, Instagram. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, I'm under Shannon Griffin, and my personal page, Shannon Griffin. But For Humanities is the business. Survive and Thrive is the event. October 11th and 12th. Tickets are really reasonable for 2 days, $50. Vendors are $150 for both days. But it's all about supporting those survivors and the families and finding ways to bring that, keep that motivation and keep the circle of survivorship in that circle of recovery. And again, I'm here on Facebook. I'm live like every day, twice a day usually. So you'll always see me live. Right now, we are talking all about Survive and Thrive and how we are coming to Houston. And we're definitely looking for folks such as, you know, Jamie and survivors who would love to share their stories. So, you know, you never know. We'll be piping people in via live stream, too. So, hey, if you want to be there, definitely. Because it's, you know, even people who are not survivors need that uplift of knowing that even some of the things that they're dealing with is manageable on how they mentally prepare themselves and have their mindset right. And being around positive people at the same time that are not just sitting in doom and gloom, they're like, okay, yeah, I understand you got doom and gloom going on right now, but what are we doing right now? What are we about to do? How are we going to get this done? You know, what next?
Yep.
Okay, I heard that. Now what? You know, so that's kind of like my mindset with things. So again, I'm always on social media, Shannon Griffin for Humanities, and you'll find me somewhere out there. So
awesome. All right, Fraser, how about you? Where can they find you, follow you, connect with you, and all that good stuff?
Well, Facebook, I suppose Facebook's one of them. Through my podcast, the Ramsey Unleashed, Going Beyond Borders, and we certainly have gone beyond borders on this crossover from New York, sure, California to Scotland, talking about cancer. So a summer break, I suppose, because it's been busy. Want to get back to podcasting, and this is a perfect sort of time to sort of start, and perfect topic. and support. I just love supporting people. It's not easy. It's tough. We're all busy. And as I say, I like to be able to be that connection to Scotland if people have never had that connection before. So who knows, Survive and Thrive, brought to you by WJMS Scotland, could be a nice wee ring to it. And so I think we jump on it. I think we have to do two or three a year instead of just one, Shannon. So Survive and Thrive. so that could be a nice wee ring to it. But no, just Facebook, on Twitter under Fraser 6875. Ramsey Unleashed is the podcast. I'll be on Podbean, on SoundCloud, Spotify, that kind of thing. Yeah, just like connecting people, a bit of a network. I'll sit here and connect people in America up. Alta V. Spelzer, who was a shout out to her. She was looking for connections in New York, and who did I know in New York in the community? And I thought, oh, I forgot about Jamie as well. I kind of listed that really frigging people I know in New York that I forgot. But yeah, it's good to just like connecting people who are looking for something or somebody, or for. Jamie might be looking for WJMS t-shirts designed in Shannon or somebody with cancer, or for the Brooklyn Walk, Bridge Walk, there's Shannon that could design something for her or whatever, or we could do some collaboration business. If it means getting people doing something, people get business from something or anything, I'm happy. I just love connecting folk and helping out as best I can.
Great. And for me, folks, you know where to find and follow me, really, of course. I am at WJMS Radio on all your Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, all that. I'm Jamie Jam on Facebook and Just Jams on Instagram. For those folks that don't know, I am, again, walking in the Free to Breathe Walk in Brooklyn. We're walking across the Brooklyn Bridge for lung cancer awareness. That's happening on Sunday, October 20th. And I'm actually, this is news, Justin, I'm actually a featured speaker at the walk now. So I'll be telling my story and giving my testimony in front of all of the people that are joining the Brooklyn Free to Breathe Walk, which is crazy. Yeah. And exciting and crazy, mostly crazy, but exciting too. So I'll be doing that and then walking with everybody. So I'm trying to pull a team together. I'm trying to raise $2,000. So if you want to join my team and walk with me, let me know. We're going to have t-shirts and everything. So it'll be great. And yeah, again, it's in Brooklyn. You can come crash at my place if you need to. It's fine. I'm going to have a whole full house. No worries. And then also, apparently, I'm going to be on billboards and yeah, the Lung Cancer Research Foundation we've been putting together some meaningful collaborations, and they've wanted to put my face on a poster for lung cancer awareness. So you'll see me on buses and trains and billboards in Philadelphia in the next couple of months. So if you see me, tag me. It's kind of crazy. Again, crazy, like it's taken on a life of its own. I'm so excited to be able to educate people on lung cancer. And so many of my friends, shout out to my friends who have quit smoking and who have made significant health changes in their lives just from hearing my story and talking to me and just realizing that anything can happen. Shout out to you guys, because honestly, like, it takes a lot to make those kinds of meaningful changes in your life. And I appreciate you guys taking that step, even if it's, for really, really crappy circumstances. I'm grateful that you guys are making that change. And if that's, what comes from this, I'm fine with that. I'm 100% fine with that. But again, find me, follow me on all my social media. I'll be sharing all of this stuff. I'm on Get Vocal, not as much as I need to be. I should be on here more. But yeah, everybody just keep in touch. I'm so glad we did this collabo, literally breaking down borders, Scotland, LA. Like, you guys should have seen us trying to figure out what time zone to do this in. We're like, what time is it at 5 o'clock where you are? But I am so glad to be joined by both of you guys. This has been an absolutely wonderful conversation. Shannon, congratulations on all of your success and your beautiful hair. Regardless if you used to wear it like that or not, you better rock it. You're killing it. Fraser, tomorrow, I wish you all the best, at your mother's gravesite. And I'm sure she knows that you're there. So I want to thank all the folks that tuned in and listened today. Shout out to everybody watching on all the different platforms. I've been monitoring you. And yeah, we're going to connect. And I just appreciate everybody being here today. So I'll be back next week with another brand new episode of Sound Off. So be here, 12 p.m. You know where to find me. Fraser, I'll be in touch with you. Shannon, we're going to connect definitely for your opinion. Yeah, and that's it. That's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys again for being with us.
Thanks for listening. Tune in 24/7 at WJMSradio.com.